Good afternoon, everybody. Since it is Hanukkah, we'll do a Hanukkah question that came up recently. I got a text from somebody that said as follows. They want to make Hanukkah cookies for Hanukkah. So they sell cookie cutters that are in the shape of menorahs and dreidels and all sorts of nice Hanukkah shapes. So the person wanted to know, do you have to title these cookie cutters? He said, if it makes a difference, on the package it says that the company is in Jackson, New Jersey. So that perhaps indicates that it is a Jewish company. And if it's a Jewish, Jackson, New Jersey is a pretty Jewish area. So if it's a Jewish company, maybe the Jewish people are making these cookie cutters, in which case you would not have to tovel them. You only have to tovel kalim that you buy from a Nachri. On the other hand, it also says on the very same box, made in China. There aren't Jewish people working in the factories in China making these cookie cutters. So that was the shaila. So really there are two shailas that are involved over here. Shaila number one is, do cookie cutters ever need to be toveled in the first place? And then, assuming that the answer to that is yes, we then could ask the question about the company that's working out of someone's basement computer in Jackson, New Jersey, and has a factory in China that's making these menorah-shaped cookie cutters, which are obviously made for the Jewish people, right? They're not being made for other people. So the cookie cutters in general, shaila is an interesting shaila. In Yoredeisim Kufchav Sifhei, which is the siman about Tvilas Kelim, Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Mordechai, that Sakin Shel Shchita, Yesh Mishomer Sheino Tzarech Tvila. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mordechai that if you have a Sakin Shel Shchita, a Shchita knife, that it does not require Tvila. Why doesn't it require Tvila? Because says the Shach, only Klei Su'uda require Tvila, and a Sakin Shel Shchita is not a Klei Su'uda, even though it comes in direct contact with the meat, with the food, with the animal that it's shechting. But there's another step that's required before you're able to eat the meat, and that is the meat needs to be cooked. At the stage that the knife is coming in contact with the animal, the meat is still raw, and therefore it's not a Klei Su'uda, and therefore it would turn out that a butcher's knife, which is used just to separate large pieces of meat from each other, also does not need to be toveled. However, the Tashbetz disagrees with the Mordechai, and the Tashbetz says that a Shechita knife does need to be toveled. How do we paskin? So it seems to be a stira in the Ramah. The Ramah writes V'yesh Cholkin, quoting the Tashbetz, and he writes the Tovel Tovel below Bracha. Yishvi Choshish for the Shitas HaTashbetz, and Yishvi Tovel a Shechita knife without a Bracha, even though apparently the Shechita knife does not come in contact with the finished product. There's another stage that has to happen. But then the Ramah adds, Habarzelim shemesakne b'mamatzos edem tzrichim tevila. You ever notice on the matzos they have those ridges in the matzah? So how does that happen? They roll out something over the matzah, over the dough, to make those little holes in the matzah. So that metal roller that they roll over the dough to make those holes in the matzah, that doesn't require tevila. The Ramah writes. So the question is, isn't that a stira? Why wouldn't it require a tevila? Because at the stage that it's dealing with the dough, the dough's not ready to eat yet. It still needs to be baked. That's the same svara by the shechita knife. And yet by the shechita knife, the Ramah said that you do have to do tevila without a bracha. How you answer that question is going to determine whether cookie cutters require tevila. Because l'chora, cookie cutter is the same, right? It's something that comes in contact with the dough that's not yet ready to be eaten, even though it may be delicious if you have a little bit, but your stomach will hurt. It's not meant to be eaten at that stage. It still needs to be baked. So does that require tevila b'li bracha like the first Ramah, or no tevila at all like the second Ramah, like the matzah situation? So the Shach writes, v'nirah d'svirale la'arav da barzelim gari tfei she'i efshar l'sham shal l'maychal acher ma'shein ken sakin shal shchita she'efshar l'sham shal l'maychal acher. Very simple chilek between the sakin shal shchita and these barzelim, these iron things that you use for the matzahs. The things that you use for the matzahs have no other use. There's no use for them on regular food that's ready to be eaten. If you wanted to take a shechita knife and cut your ready-made medium rare steak, that's the way to eat steak. If you wanted to cut your ready-made medium rare steak with a shechita knife, you can. It would work. You'd be able to. It's not wise because you wouldn't want to risk making a pekima in the knife, but you'd be able to do it. So anytime it's a kli that comes in contact with the food that still needs further action to make it edible, but it could theoretically be used on the finished product, that's where the Ramah says tevila b'li bracha. But if it's something that couldn't even possibly be used on the finished product, then it would be no tevila at all. And therefore, cookie cutters, following along, cookie cutters, no tevila at all. What are you going to do with a cookie cutter on a cookie? It would be too late on a cookie. It only works in the early stages. However, not everyone agrees with the Shach. The Taz in Sifkat and Zayin simply says, V'nira kivin dekas ramal zev etovel etovel b'lo bracha, Who adin b'kli barzel shemasakin b'matzah, that even though the Ramah didn't mention it by the matzah thing, he means to rely on what he already wrote when it comes to the shechita knife. And of course, you tovel everything without a bracha. So according to the Taz, there is no chiluk to be made, and you tovel everything without a bracha, even though it's only dealing with the food at a preliminary stage in the preparation of the food. So according to the Taz, it will turn out that cookie cutters do require tevila without a bracha, whereas according to the Shach, it turns out that cookie cutters do not require tevila at all. What about the fact that it's made in a factory in China, and it's apparently made for this company that's located in Jackson, New Jersey, which is a Jewish company? So a little bit of background. In Chosh Mishpat, there is a machlokas whether uman kona b'shvach kli, meaning when a professional repairs or builds a kli, do we assume that since he's added value to the kli, it's as if he becomes the owner of the kli, or do we assume that it still belongs to the real owner of the kli? It would seem to have enough kamina with tevilas kalim. What happens if you give a block of silver to a non-Jew to make a nice kiddush cup for you? So if you say uman kona b'shvach kli, so he acquires the silver when he molds it into a cup, it becomes his, and then when you pay for it and get it back from him, it requires tevila. You got his cup back. But if you say ein uman kona b'shvach kli, so it belonged to you the whole time, and therefore would not require tevila when you get it back from him. Most achronim learned that the halach is a suffix whether uman kona b'shvach kli. However, the Ritzba quoted by the Torah says that we paskin uman kona b'shvach kli. So it seems that if you give silver to a non-Jewish silversmith, the cup that he creates is chayiv in tevila. And if you have a kli that breaks and it's no longer functional, and if you give it to a non-Jewish repairman, you will have to tovel it. However, the Torah says that even according to the Ritzba, that uman kona b'shvach kli, you would still not need to tovel the cup made by a non-Jewish silversmith, because it's similar, because it's not doma l'klei midyan. And in midyan, the material and the kli belong to the non-Jew. When you're providing the material and he's making the kli, that's dissimilar to where we learn tevilas kelim from. Mele does not require tevila. How do we paskin? Halach and shulchan aruch yardeis im kufchav siv yud, like the tour, yisrael shnas and kesef lumadovik chavim lasos lo mimenu kli, eino tzarech tevila. Shulchan aruch says does not require tevila. The Ramah is choshish for the opinion of the Ritzba, says v'yesh cholkin v'yesh l'tovla b'lo bracha, that there are those that disagree, and therefore if you have a non-Jew making a kli for you out of material that you've provided for him, it's tevila without a bracha. But what if it's a Jewish owned factory, meaning l'chora over here you have this company in Jackson, New Jersey, that owns this factory in China that makes these menorah shaped cookie cutters? So would that be enough? The Pesachit Shuvan Sivkat Nibbeis quotes from Chachma Sadam that if a glass company, a company that makes glass kelim, is either owned by a Jew or the workers are Jewish, either one, you would not need tevila, because it's a suffix whether uman kona b'shvach kli or not, and therefore it's only chayiv midra, and since glass is only chayiv midrabanan, you could be mekel. The Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't understand the whole cheshbon over there. He says it's got nothing to do with uman kona b'shvach kli, because the case is a Jewish-owned factory that produces tons and tons of items. The people who work in that factory own nothing. They don't know, they're not kona anything that they're making in that factory. They're kona their $3 an hour salary. That's all they're kona. They don't own anything that they're producing. They're shchirei yom. They're getting paid to produce whatever they're producing. So even glass kalim would require tevila with a bracha if it's a Jewish owned factory. Ramesha Paskin said that if the factory is owned by a Jew, it does not require tevila because uman kona b'shvach kli by yischir, he also by that by yischir yom, only by a kablin you say uman b'shvach kli, but by yischir yom you wouldn't say such a thing. So therefore l'chora, if it's a real Jewish owned factory, it would not require tefila. But is that really what's going on here? When you see on the package that the company is based in Jackson, New Jersey, and it says made in China, do you imagine that there's a building somewhere in China with a giant menorah on top of it and a dreidel on top of it, and they're making 24/7, 24/6 they make menorah and dreidel shaped cookie cutters? That is not what happens. There is some nondescript building in China that makes 10 million different things. Everything you find in the 99 cent store is made in that same building in China. Just for a half of one day, they'll pump out some, they'll contract with a company. And again, company is probably, an entrepreneurial balabasta in her basement, on a computer, that they contract with a company that's going to make these cookie cutters. So is that really considered that it's a Jewish ownership that it's being made under just because the company says I'd like you to make it in this shape because that's the way I'm going to be able to sell it and therefore not require tefillah? So that's very very questionable. You'll sometimes find these aluminum pans that they sell in some of the frumos stores that they'll say lo tzarich tefillah because it was made under Jewish ownership. So I remember in the OU office once they were saying that Rabbi Belsky, Zichron Levracha, used to make fun of it. Now, what do you mean it was made under Jewish ownership? It means that someone told, had a conversation on the phone with a Chinese guy who doesn't speak a word of English and bought the company bought the factory for a day for that run. They didn't buy anything. The Chinese guy had no idea what he was selling. There was no Kenyan. There was no nothing. There was no Jewish ownership. There was none of that. But over here in this Shiloh that we're dealing with over here, even though that second angle may not be such a great angle, but the first angle that it's a cookie cutter may be enough, because according to the Shach, it doesn't require tevilah anyway. According to the Taz, tevilah without a bracha, and there's a sniff that maybe there's something to argue if there's that there's some Jewish ownership involved. Maybe, I don't know, I didn't have a chance to ask Rav Shafi what he thought, but there's room to argue in such a case, perhaps, that there would not require tevilah at all, since we're talking about cookie cutters to begin with. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day. I apologize, I got to run to